Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast. Scratch that, scratch
you
that.
You can't, no, you can't scratch.
Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. It's me, Navi Princess, Memoria. And I'm here to tell you, human Austin, that I believe Awa has told me you are our chosen one.
Is that because I'm white?
Us Navi don't see skin color.
Okay, wait. Hold on. What color are you?
I don't know, dude. I'm a little bit too tired to improv.
Can I tell you what? I'm glad you're tired because I feel... You ever hear of DS? I feel like DS, dog shit, today. I am so tired.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So exhausted. And I don't know why. I have no clue why. How'd you make yourself blue? Oh, I forgot to sleep. That's what it was. Fuck, you're so... That's exactly what I have to do.
Right, so you're the chosen one, and I hereby declare you Navi, and you will be blue in 3, 2, 1. Blue. Wow, you're blue.
Holy shit, it gave me a mustache. What did you do?
It did?
And my eyesight got worse, and I got glasses now? What kind of crap is this? Turn me back. I want to go back to being a white guy.
There's no going
back.
But a
literally white guy.
There's no going back, unfortunately.
Where's my old body?
Your human body is dead. You must be Navi forever.
Who killed it?
Welcome. I killed it, actually, with my bare hands.
Strangled me to death and I turned blue? Are you sure that's not just a normal side effect of strangulation? And I'm still being strangled. I'm dying.
That could be true.
Could be. Hey, but are there any Navi with mustaches? Or am I the first one?
You know what?
You would know.
Now that you say that, I don't think any of the males have facial hair. I don't think that's a thing.
No facial hair. What else did I learn?
I think they're baby smooth.
They do sometimes have like they have hair, right?
They do have hair, yes.
Like they have like braids and stuff. I remember that.
They have a braid that has a big freaking nerve in it to connect to their brain.
Really? So if you yank their hair, it's not good.
Have you not seen Avatar?
I have not. I probably will not. In fact, I think that is like watching your video. It was the amount of Avatar that I need in my life. And I think I kind of enjoyed it more because of that. Because I didn't have reference. So like,
you know pretty much everything about it now. There's not more to
know. I
know
more, I think, than people who watch the movie based on watching that video.
Yeah. You would just spend 3 hours learning everything that I said in those 5 minutes in the beginning, because
the plot is
extremely simplistic.
I really enjoyed your summary of it. I was going to do a glaze sesh for your video later. Well, I'll keep it light, but
I mean, I was planning to talk about it because
that's what I want to talk about. I have a lot of
questions I've been thinking about for weeks.
First of all, you know, and I know. And we discovered this. You discovered this. There is another video that is also has the same concept from like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I guess I should address that here on the pod.
Your video is better than that video. I watched them both. I couldn't even finish the other video. No offense.
I didn't watch the other one.
Hi, this is Editing Mem. I just wanted to actually finish what I was going to say because we immediately got distracted and did not finish the thought. But I would like to address the allegations, which of course have not been allegated, but I'm pre-addressing the allegations, you could say, about me potentially copying this video from this other creator. And the way I'm addressing it is that I didn't. I did some searching before I made my video, and that one didn't come up. And I was actually really, really sad when I saw it in my recommended, because of course, throughout this process, my video recommendations have all become filled with Avatar-related content, and somehow in my initial searching, I missed this one. Not that every idea on YouTube has to be original. I don't actually think it's a problem. People make the same videos all the time, because I think what matters is your own personal spin on it, right? But I was a little bit sad because I didn't think that somebody had made something with like almost the exact same title and everything that I was doing. So I discovered this like a few days before I posted mine. I was in the final stages of editing. Anyway, I didn't watch it before I finished mine because I didn't want to be further discouraged or influenced. It does exist, so shout out to this other Austin. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
But here's what happened. He didn't actually play them all. You actually played Play Them All. This man was not sitting there.
What do you mean the title was he beat them?
I know. Your summary of the plot of Avatar was 100 times funnier than his summary of the plot of Avatar. So nice job. Obviously, there's room for both of you. This town is big enough for the two of us. But your video was
freaking
better.
Guys named Austin on YouTube, am I right?
He's fucking, listen, how many are there? Peanut Butter Gamer, his name is Austin. There's this guy, Austin Eruption.
I don't even know.
There's me, any Austin. There's that other guy, Austin, he's like the really famous one who hangs out with all the streamers.
I know there's somebody called Austin Show, is that?
Maybe that's him, yeah.
I don't know. You're the only one that I watch, if that makes you feel better.
Jeez, that does make me feel better.
I didn't realize it was such a common name.
I didn't really either. I don't think I've ever met another man Austin in person, except though there was a guy who went to my high school, his name was Austin. But aside from that, I've never met another Austin.
Yeah.
I met a lady Austin, but not a man Austin.
I've never heard of a lady Austin, but that's cool.
That's pretty rare. Yeah.
You really do. You know what you look like? You look like a blue version of, the guy from The Lovely Bones, the bad guy.
I can't say I've seen that either, though I watch clips of it on TikTok sometimes.
He's a child
lover, pedophile?
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's right. Don't euphemize.
He's a minor attracted person. That's what they call it.
Yes, a map, or there's another word for
this
it too.
This person is fucking up our vibe.
Yeah, my whole computer died. Or something. I'm not sure what happened. Am I still in the game, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, you're looking right at me. You're looking right at the camera.
Oh, yeah, there I am. I'm back. Okay. I don't really know what's happening. They're really messing with
There's
everything.
There's just a person jumping all over us and messing up our beautiful camera positions.
What should we do?
I'm going to say you're effing our vibe. It won't let me say effing.
Oh, say you're giving me the clap. Or whatever. What was that thing in the movie?
You're giving me the clap. I can say
no
that.
No shot. Really? There you go.
You're messing up our podcast. No
hablo inglés. No hablo navi, huh?
No hablo navi.
Little reference there. Just say cállate, por favor. Or, you know, or some sort of other. Eres basura. Grande basura del mundo.
What does that mean? Did you say this.
It says, okay, all right, here. How do you type? Vas a, wait, fuck. Why can't I say that? Vas a hell.
Roblox censorship is very
Jesus
extreme.
Jesus Christ.
Vas a hell. Does that mean go to hell?
I think it means you go to hell.
Oh my God.
Los Santo. Do we want to move location?
I mean, like, we can run away. They'll probably just follow us. Oh.
Huh?
She seems to be leaving us alone.
Okay, where was I? Here's my first observation about your video. You changed the thumbnail. I noticed.
I paid
close attention.
Yes,
because I saw that first thumbnail and I said,
"This fucking sucks."
I said, "This is not. This, she could do better than this."
What
That's
an
what
idiot.
I thought. And then the next time I saw it, it was this much improved, excellent thumbnail. Now, I want to know, did you A-B test that, or did you just decide?
No, I just looked at it when it was small and went, that's a little bit overstimulating.
Well, and you did a better job in the second one of, like,
not enough contrast.
Yeah, it's clearer, and then there's more just, like, blue, which is, like, the Avatar color, so it just, like, made it more clear what exactly was going on, so, banger, excellent
choice. Yeah, I mean,
I
made the first one in a rush because I got up in the morning and did it, and I wanted to post the video, so...
Yeah. Now, how have you noticed when you post? Because I've talked to other creators who make long videos, and they say that when they first made that transition, not that this is a transition for you, but like it was interesting because long videos like kind of perform differently than short videos. Like they kind of take a lot more time to get momentum.
Exactly.
But then once they get momentum, they like tend to have a longer tail. And I'm curious if you notice anything as someone who's made a lot of videos.
I mean, I haven't made one this long before, but I assume I can't really like gauge how it's doing until maybe like a week from now, because a lot of people see a longer video and they like plan to watch it later. you know, so right. people aren't like clicking on it immediately.
That makes sense. And how do you feel it's been received? How are you? Are you basking in the glow? Do you feel good about it?
I feel good about it. I think it's good. I think there's a lot of funny moments. I don't know if it's too long and I should have edited it down more, but also people, you know, if people want a lot of content of me being goofy playing games, that's what it is. So hopefully those people will be happy. Yeah. And it seems like most people are happy about it.
It seems like most people do want that. No, but on your list, is it a 1 out of 10, a 5 out of 10?
Oh, I will never look at that.
Ugh, you're killing me. All right. Well, it's a great video.
And here's why.
All right.
It's not going to change anything I'm doing. So it only serves to make me feel bad and anxious and think about things I don't need to be thinking about when I could just be making something else.
So it's not, you would never adjust anything you're doing. Like if you, let's say you made a video about, let's say this video got 10 million views in one day. Wouldn't you, surely you would go, I guess I'll make more Avatar videos. Or would you not? Are you unflappable?
No. Like that works for some people. You know, just kind of chasing what does well over and over. But that's not a lifestyle that I could maintain because I would feel a lot of like self-betrayal because I want to do what makes me feel good and what I like. And I don't want to pigeonhole myself into a niche at all. That's why every video I make is like something completely different. Cause I don't want, yeah. I want to avoid a niche at all costs.
And so, even the format is changing. This one had a different format than all the other ones. Like the whole thing where you're like, hi, here's how I'm doing. Checking in. This is like,
well, that was like a goofy bit because they do that in the movie. They have like a mandatory. Oh, really? Yeah.
Maybe I should have seen the movie. I might have.
No, that was like the whole like overlay that I do on those little vlog parts is the overlay from the movie. They make all the researchers do these like vlogs to talk about how they're feeling about the experience throughout. So that's why that's there.
Do you have any favorite comments you've gotten? Anyone who like really, I saw the one you posted on your story.
Yeah, I loved that one. That was
like, this is exactly what I'm trying to watch. You would say like, well, you'd remember
just because in the video I said I love sitting down to play a mediocre video game, and they said, "Oh, we are very aware."
Yeah, we know. So yeah, it's nice to have an audience that gets you. You know,
yeah,
that's pretty good. It feels nice.
So yeah, it was really fun to make. You know, I laughed a lot while I made it, which is the whole point for me. So I'm happy it's done. I'm tired because I get like this isn't even that big of a deal. And I'm going to talk about it as if it's like my magnum opus and I'm a fucking artist or something.
Until the next video, obviously.
But I get a little bit obsessive about projects near the end if I've been spending a lot of time on it and I'm like excited to get it done. I just end up staying up too late, finishing it and like not taking care of myself because I get to, especially in the last couple days, like if I know that I have less than a day's worth of work to get it done, I'm like too excited to get it done to sleep. It's like, even if I went to sleep, I would just be thinking about being excited about finishing it. So my sleep schedule is all fucked now.
Do you ever like want to be ahead? You know what I mean? Like, do you ever want to be in a place where like you finish a video and it doesn't go up for a month? Or is that
I don't know how to do that. I realize that you do that, I guess, but I don't even understand. I don't get it. I feel like you have like a time turner, like Hermione and Harry Potter. You're just like going back in time doing stuff. I don't know how to do that.
It's you just schedule. You put the video, you say, I'm going to make a video every month. And then so you make videos. And then if you get one done early, then it's done early. But I guess I'm curious is if you got a video done early, would you just put it up as soon as it was done? Or would you be comfortable being like, well, I just put one up last week or whatever. Not that you would ever get a video done in a week, you know. But
I think I just don't do
stuff. You don't
stuff
seem like
fast
someone who would
enough.
Want to sit on that. Well, but you could put, let's say you did, oh, I'm going to make a video every 6 months, you know, like you could be that type of person, but you approach it I feel like you get, not that I do one project at a time.
And then you finish it
and send it out, and then that's that. And people have to wait as long as they have to wait, and that's the way it goes.
Starting now, I want to make a few shorter videos. That's my plan, because I just miss posting more.
It is more fun, yeah, in some ways.
It gets
but you didn't plan on this being 2 hours. You did think, probably, I assume when you started it, you were like, it's going to be a normal video.
I thought it was going to be, yeah, I thought maybe like 1 month. That was kind of the schedule I was ending up in, whether I liked it or not. That's what it was turning out to be, is like once a month.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was going to take the same as the other ones. And then the problem is just, I had so much footage, obviously, because I filmed almost all of these games. And I'm such a perfectionist about like not wanting to miss any funny moments. Like, I wanted to find like everything in all this footage that I wanted to use.
That must have been a pain in the ass.
So it obviously took forever. Something cool, though.
Wait, talk me through that. How did you do that?
Something cool is, so originally, just because I didn't want to have all this footage on my computer, I just set up a little private stream to YouTube and streamed to nobody the first couple games, the PC one and the Wii one, and then went back through the stream VODs to get clips. And something like unintended side effect of doing it that way is I could just download the transcripts of the video and Control-F and find things. So,
What is the easiest? Because some people like start a stopwatch, you know, and then anytime they say something funny, they like put a marker, because then you can just go back.
I tried to
do something like that, but
it was too much. I can't multitask like that to be thinking about writing down time codes. So it was a lot of just kind of watching footage back, skipping around. I would like find something in the transcript that I knew I remembered that I wanted to use. And then I would end up just kind of like watching a lot of the VOD anyway, just sitting there. And then I would catch other stuff. So I think it turned out well, but it was a lot of time. It was a lot of time I spent doing that.
How many hours of footage do you think it was of just you playing Avatar games?
I think it probably averaged about like 10 hours per game. So what, like 50?
So you're telling me you, in effect, you had to...
Not 50, the last one was only an hour. 40.
But still, you had to go through 40 hours of footage, in theory, to find all these clips.
Yeah, not quite like that. I didn't film everything of the DS game or the tablet game, because I didn't want to crane my neck over the desk with a crazy filming setup for that every time. So that's why there's a lot of just like photos. I just like sat around my house playing them, and then I would just like take pictures of the screen when something interesting was happening.
Yeah.
So that I don't know. Like, I maybe had like 30 pain. Hours of footage that I was going through.
Yeah, only 30.
So it took a long time, but I'm happy with how it came out, and I'm going to try to restrain myself a little bit and find ways to make easier, shorter videos for a little while, even though I'm sure I'll have bigger ideas in the future too.
You get to enjoy the, like, you know, it's always this lovely glow that your life takes on in the first 2 to 3 days of a new video going up. And so you get to live in that a little bit. Though I have noticed, like, what you've described, like, especially in the last, like, 6 months, I do get, like, this, like, day after I finish a video of, like, kind of like a burnout-y feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out how to deal with that. Like, I don't even stay up all night like you do. But it's like, when it's finally done, I just am, like, really tired the next day. And I don't know how to, like, why that is. Because it's just sitting at a computer.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit...
My brain gets all funky.
It's a little bit anticlimactic because you are, like, so excited about the thing. And then you put it out and... at the end of the day, you're still alone in your house. It's not like a movie premiere, and then you get to like go to the movie premiere and see everybody see it for the first time and get like a live reaction. It's like you put it out, and then it's like it feels like such a big deal to you, and then it's just kind of silence. Like you're getting comments.
Right, you just like go for a walk.
But at the end of the day, it's still it's a solitary activity to be a YouTuber most of the time. So I think it just feels a little bit like. You know, and I think that's why it's important to celebrate in your own little ways. Like, I said last night, we got to go get ramen for me to celebrate this. And then we had ramen and it was really nice. And right after I finished it the night before, I got a little Dairy Queen blizzard for myself. I was like, this is my nice. Avatar video completion blizzard. So
that's a good idea.
It feels more real if you like find nice things to do for yourself in real life. But at the end of the day, being a YouTuber is just being a nerd alone in your house.
Unless you are one of those YouTubers who like, you know, you ever see these YouTubers? I don't even know where this came from or why I watched so many of these videos in a row. But it'll be like, I built a McDonald's in my mansion. And it'll be like a secret door in their mansion and they open it and they like built a functioning McDonald's. You ever see these videos?
I haven't seen the videos. I think I've seen like people talking about them where it's like a trend probably for kids. Like this kind of content blows up with kids. Yeah. Where they'll be like, I built a crazy secret room. And I'm sure it's started as a normal, like a relatively normal thing where they just like built a little secret gaming room under the stairs or something. And now it's just evolved into this insane, like you open a whole wall and it turns into another world.
Yeah, I saw this guy who built a Starbucks, a McDonald's, a Subway, and two other fast food restaurants. Fully licensed. Oh, I don't know if it was he paid for licenses or got paid to use it, but it was like fully functioning five of these fast food restaurants, like behind bookcases and like under the stairs in his house. So like these weird miniaturized restaurants. And then he had a famous food critic come to his mansion and rent it. And I'm like, what? After that's done. Like, this must be a house that's just for this.
You get a famous food critic to review your Starbucks and McDonald's.
He did. Listen, I don't know. Well, because you know how, like, no YouTube video can just be one thing anymore. Yeah. It's like, I built these, and on top of that, we've got a famous food critic who's going to rate them all, and whichever one is the worst gets blown up by a bomb. But yeah, I was
that's
just...
That's what I want to see.
I don't... Well, I have the video for you. I have the exact... video and
that
I just
whole
yeah it's
side
weird.
Of YouTube, like I don't know what you would call it, mainstream,
it's all,
like child,
it's all kids, right?
Yeah, child focused YouTube is like a just a different universe. They're doing crazy stuff over there,
absolutely insane stuff. And I like, who's the biggest YouTuber who's like not for children? Because I think even some people would argue he straddles the line, but I'm pretty sure Mr. Beast counts as children's entertainment.
Yeah.
Just like all of that shit does.
Yeah.
So who's like who's the biggest YouTuber for grownups?
I'm looking
Joe
at
Joe Rogan? He's not a YouTuber.
Most subscribed YouTube channels. They're all like mostly corporations, but...
Corporations, music video conglomerates, and then
it's like
these...
corporations,
children.
And then it'll be like... a channel that's absolutely huge that you've never heard of because it's in Spanish.
Yes, yeah, or like India has a ton of huge YouTube channels and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe like a Ryan Trahan. I guess his videos aren't explicitly for children.
I don't
but
even
yeah, it is,
know these people. I'm not plugged
in. I know,
in
there's
to...
just like this whole world. There's all these niches
Justin
that are
Bieber
like...
Justin Bieber is on this list.
Well, he's got a lot of subs. But What's he up to lately?
I mean, the people think he's going crazy.
Who are the people? Wait, why do they think he's going crazy?
The people.
What is he doing?
I don't know. He's been posting some weird stories on Instagram and such.
Ah, who doesn't?
I don't know anything about it. I think that celebrities that big kind of have a right to be insane.
The top YouTube search suggestion is Justin Bieber okay? Reports suggest he's generally doing okay despite some challenges. Okay. Well,
I don't know what's going on. It is really sad to me when you're looking at the most subscribed channels, how many of them are for kids. They're like toy review channels or, you know, Cocomelon, whatever.
Yeah. What? Christ. That's just like a whole. I know there have been like videos about those videos and stuff, but like, how does that work? It's got to just be auto playing stuff.
It is. It's
kids
auto-playing,
on iPads.
And kids will watch anything, and they have no self-regulation. They have no discernment in what they're watching. They'll just watch whatever has the brightest colors and keeps their attention, regardless of any actual educational content. So it's really quite frustrating that that's such a big thing. Honestly, I almost feel like at this point, YouTube should take some kind of responsibility for it, because I mean, it makes them a lot of money too. And so they're pushing it, obviously, for that reason. But it is like when you look at the numbers of views on these videos that are like just fully brain rot, they're not going to help kids understand anything at all. It's just like to get them out of their parents' hair for 2 minutes. And then the numbers of views are so crazy. It just makes me think like that's how much time some kid has wasted with their brain. Like,
yeah. They just paused the development of their brain, if not possibly made it worse. But like, yes. They just completely stopped ingesting anything useful.
Yeah.
Hey, I was looking at, this is a whole other thing. You know, I sounded like I'm going to do a whole, like a pivot, but it's not really a pivot. It's kind of the same subject.
Okay.
Because I was going to pivot to telling you about the rehearsal for a second, because I did start watching it.
Right, yes. We can talk about that.
But I also wanted to, as a side note in this same conversation, I did, Jesus, can you tell that I'm tired? My brain is like not even
forming
thoughts. I was looking down the list of all of like the featured guests at VidCon, because I'm trying to see if I would need to meet any of them, like any of them that I want to know. And so I'm looking at all these people, obviously never heard of any of them. A lot of them, like there are Minecraft and like Roblox channels that are faceless for the most part. Like they have a cartoon avatar.
Yeah.
These people are getting millions of views.
Yeah.
And they're putting up a video damn near every day of just them playing Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought that like Let's Play type stuff was gone. And not that this is quite the same as what that used to be. But I was just shocked at like how not, it's just like how low effort the content is. That it was surprising. You've disappeared from Pandora.
Was idle for 20 minutes, apparently. I'll come back for a second.
Okay. And I guess I was just... because it's kind of like what Markiplier used to do, you know? Is what these people are doing. It's like definitely following in that lineage. But I thought that whole thing had died. Like, I'm always surprised when I see Jacksepticeye.
I don't know if it died, like, for a while, but I feel like Let's Plays are coming back.
Who is doing them? Is it Twitch or is it like actual full
on YouTube?
Interesting. I don't see any of them. I like when you join a Roblox, it says joined the experience.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's a good word for it because they're not all games. Like, I don't know if this is a game.
No, this is like, it's like Disney World. They're not, it's like, it's not a theme park. It's a collection of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you want to hear about crew resource management in the cockpit of an airplane?
Sure.
In some ways, Nathan Fielder is the most admirable man in the world. Would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely.
How, like, the creative freedom. He kind of reminds me of Mr. Beast. Because... Eve, like, in the same sense of, like...
just unrestrained
if Mr. Beast goes,
production
yeah,
value.
Yeah, just completely unrestrained. But the difference, obviously, is Mr. Beast is just doing, like, whatever, like, insane sort of bright, flashy stuff. And Nathan Fielder has a purpose. But he's totally unrestrained. Like, I cannot even imagine the amount of money and thought and coordination and management and communication it takes to do the stuff that he's doing.
And he'll do
in this
crazy,
show.
Insane. Crazy sets that had to be so much money for like a 1 minute bit.
Yeah. Sometimes
which
less.
Is,
there's
yeah.
like full room sets that you see for 3 seconds.
Exactly.
And
I was saying,
yeah,
I wonder where they all
absolutely
are.
Insane.
Like, I kind of hope they're all in a giant warehouse somewhere. And then he could open that as a theme park, like freaking the rehearsal park that you just walk through and look at.
And you know what I find so admirable about it? And this is something that I strive, well, I don't strive to emulate, but I think it lines up with my sensibilities really nicely, is that he doesn't ever, ever, ever make a big deal out of the stuff he's doing. He just lets it speak for itself. And then the more you think about it, the more you realize
yeah.
how insane it is. So for example, then I've only watched one episode. I said I was going to watch more, but I just had too much going on. But there's that part in the first episode where he goes, well, I really want to know what this pilot's doing. Because the whole premise, obviously, is, you know, one of the leading causes of airline crashes is first officers not being willing to speak up to a captain that's doing something stupid. And then the captain gets him killed. I will say, I think it's probably slightly overplayed. Because I think he literally says in it, like, it's the number one cause. I don't think that's... I doubt that that's actually true, like, by the data. Pilot error in general is the number one cause, but I don't know if it would specifically be, like, a first officer being too nervous to call out their captain, necessarily, just pointing that out. But, so he's like, I want to follow this first officer around and get a sense of what their psychology is, but he's not allowed to go into all the rooms at the airport. So then he just casually goes...
So he builds an airport.
Yeah, so what I did is I built... the entire terminal down to the exact details, all the same stores, completely licensed, the same statues, and I hired actors to imitate every single person who works in the, and I'm even saying more than he actually says. Like, I'm over-explaining it more than he does in the
what
show.
What blows my mind is when he recreates, like, a restaurant and it works and, like, all the equipment is hooked up.
That's what was so surprising to me is like these so you go through it and they have the TSA line and he goes through it. I'm thinking like, oh, that's funny. They did a TSA line. It even has like a conveyor belt. But then you see it's like it actually is x-raying the bags. Like it's not it's not like play pretend. Yeah. And then the guy goes to the a Panda Express and he orders food and he gets it. Like all of it is it's totally functional to the point that I mean, if you actually back up and go, hey, I want to know what this pilot would naturally do, I bet your brain, even though you know it's fake, it is such a good facsimile that it probably would actually work to like disarm your brain and start like causing you just to behave like you actually would. Like in some strange way, it would get rid of that kind of like confounding effect. You know, of doing it in like a shittier set. And then the only way you can tell is like if you look out the windows, they even have like the whole ramp area with all the planes. But you can tell it's a 2D print if you look really closely, which is super surreal and strange. So, yeah, just an absolutely mind-blowing level of effort. And I just love how understated he is. Because obviously with him, it's hard to tell, and I got to finish the show, but like to what extent is this, there's an earnestness to it. Like I actually believe that Nathan Fielder is interested in getting to the bottom of how to solve this problem to some extent.
Yeah, there's no way he wasn't interested in it beforehand because he's too invested in it and the fact that the entire season is focused on pilots. Like, he has some kind of personal investment in this.
Is the whole season focused on pilots? Because I know the first season, like, took a lot of turns and ended up in a very different place, and it wasn't even about the things it was about initially. And I guess I'm curious
if that... No, it's pretty consistently it all comes back to the pilot situation.
Incredible. Yeah. So good. And, yeah, it's like, it is a really complicated problem to solve because, like he very aptly points out, you know... If you don't speak up, it can cause problems. But it's true that if you do speak up and you kill the vibe being killed can also cause problems.
Right, like, or like there's not... bad things to happen. It is really focused on this moment where, okay, the co-pilot should speak up and then he's trying to figure out how do we make them speak up. There's no guarantee once they speak up that, like, the captain will listen or take it well.
And it might get worse even. Yeah. Like, and then, and so you're like, you know, of the 100 times that a co-pilot doesn't speak up, one of them is a plane crash and the other 99 aren't. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're an aviation person, obviously those are odds that are bad enough that you would want to address that. But imagine if any of those other 99 times you speaking up causes a bad reaction, which then causes people to lose track, which then causes some kind of accident. So like the human piece of dealing with that is genuinely a really fascinating problem to go like totally in on and try and sort of solve it. So I'm really curious how much it sticks to that versus not, but obviously I'll figure that out.
I'm excited to see what you think of the rest of it. I won't spoil anything after the first episode.
One of the things I'm... Go ahead.
Sorry. The problem that he's tackling honestly reminds me a lot of being in grad school and doing research about, like, trying to make change in the institution of academia or, like, a university. It comes down to a lot of the same things, kind of, no matter what big institution you're coming from or you're looking at. It really all comes down to power structures and the people that in a higher position don't want to change or don't want to listen to advice of anyone below them. And it is like, I don't know, I relate a lot to the way that Nathan's looking at it and like reading these transcripts of the flights and being like, oh my gosh, it seems like such a simple problem. Like this person needs to speak up and the captain needs to listen. And so they need to have a better relationship, whatever. It's like, I went through all those same steps trying to think about how we change like teaching methods in academia. I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense that we have all this good research about teaching and the professors just need to know about it. And then they'll naturally want to change because that's an obvious answer to make things better.
Right.
And then it really comes down to whether it's these like airline pilots or professors or like, I mean, I think you can look at basically any big institution with like rankings of power in it. There's when ego is involved and you have these kind of rankings of certain people above others, it's just kind of impossible. I don't know. I don't want to be like a downer that is like, it's not a solvable problem, but it's like every single institution has this problem. Once you get to a higher rank, there's like just so much of the culture behind you are better than this other person and you know better because you've been promoted to this position. And it really comes down to the fact that it's really hard to address and companies or schools or whatever don't want to put the money in and they don't want to challenge the power of these people, and usually nothing comes of it. So
yeah, well, I think what I think the only thing I would add on to all of that stuff, which I agree with very much, is it's always surprised me how these dynamics can develop even in like very small groups. I remember if you've ever worked in like a restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy to get like the person who's been there longer than somebody else. Who has no promotion, no codified hierarchical position. But if you have like one barista who's been there for 3 years and you bring on the new barista, there's just this natural dynamic that can develop between people where you end up in these exact same situations. And I remember dealing with this so much where you would have someone who's more experienced, someone who's less experienced, and bad things would be happening, like shitty drinks would be getting made or whatever and getting sent out. And the person who was newer, even though they were more experienced, much like in the pilots thing, they would try to say something, but the other person would go, I know better than you. I've been here for longer. This is how we do it. Da 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 da. And it's like just such a, it's so natural. It's like just the human thing. It's like you can't, it's so difficult to remove
everything,
that piece of the equation.
Everything would be better if we could cultivate more of a culture of humility in whatever workplace it is. Like,
yeah.
But at the end of the day,
but then what mysterious problems
when
might
you're
that
talking
cause,
about,
I suppose, is the other
okay,
question.
We want to make institutional change. That means we have to get the people at the top of the pyramid involved. But the people at the top of the pyramid got there with this culture of like ego and progress and promotion. And now I'm better than all these other people. And so they're not going to want to do anything that challenges their social position. So it is just, it's kind of, it ends up being like circular logic. And it's like really, really hard to change without kind of just making a whole new company or a whole new school with a totally different like cultural basis or structure. And that's a huge reason why I gave up.
Yes. And it's the really tough thing is being able to have hierarchies without having ego. Because in just for the pilot example anyway, it's really important to have one person who's like, this is my responsibility.
For
at the end of the day, it does fall on my shoulders. That's an incredibly helpful organizational structure to have. And we're not very good at having those kinds of codified roles where it's like, hey, I'm responsible for this aircraft, but you can tell me if I'm doing anything wrong at any point. And even if I disagree with you, I'll listen to you. It's just like, how do you even make something like that work? I don't know. So again,
I think
I'm very curious to see where this goes.
Yeah. I think if you reach that kind of position, you should be able to be demoted if you're not doing a good job. And that would solve a lot of problems. That's how I felt about professors, is this whole idea that you have tenure. You get tenure and then you have tenure for the rest of your life, which means you're like the highest position of professor for the rest of your life, no matter what you do, no matter how horrible you are at teaching or even research. You just have tenure forever. I think
is
that
there
is
no
like
performance the foundation review or like
of course would, there's performance reviews, but they're very performative. Like if you have tenure, nobody cares anymore. They might do some kind of performance review, but nothing's going to happen. It's like almost impossible.
So wait, what's
to get
the point
fired
of tenure?
When you have tenure?
What's the point of it?
The point of tenure is to have something for professors to work for. It's like the ultimate goal. And then supposed to be, I think, that you've like proved yourself enough and then you have academic freedom and you can teach how you want to teach because you're like, you're the smart guy now.
So it's basically like, hey, you've taught for us for long enough and we haven't had to fire you
yet.
You have
to jump through a lot of hurdles. I mean, you're supposed to have to prove yourself. There is technically a teaching quality component of that, but it's not really real. At least at a lot of the biggest universities, their main priority is research. That's what they make money on. That's where all their prestige comes from. And so they only actually care how much research you do. So you have to do things like you have to have like written books and done a ton of like research that is very well respected.
So the benefit of tenure is just to promote people to like...
Introduced in the early 1900s, in part to prevent the arbitrary dismissal of faculty members who expressed unpopular views. So that's what I'm saying about like academic freedom.
That's your steel man of that is like, that's what it's supposed to be good for is hey, if you're a communist and it's the 50s, but you have tenure, you can still teach what you believe your ideals are. Okay. So that is like, I can see why someone would have thought that was a good idea in one context.
Right.
But as with anything,
that should probably just be a separate rule because it also just means you're unfireable for a slew of other things.
Yeah. I wonder, does each university have their own... Like, if you have tenure, you can wear whatever you want to work. Or hey, if you have tenure, like, you get to listen to your AirPods or whatever. Like, are there lists?
Fun little bonuses like in high school. You like get a gold star and you get to like do extra things.
Yeah, like you get to decide, what names your students have to go by. That wouldn't be a good idea, but you know, what kind of things?
That would be fun.
It could be fun. Maybe we could just update the tenure system to be a little better.
You and me will solve it, as we'll solve everything.
Yeah, why not?
Eventually, one day.
Also, wait, if you have tenure, why would you work? I guess you would get fired for some things. But like, why would you work very hard if you had tenure? Or is that the problem, is they don't?
It depends on the person. I would say certainly professors in general put less and less effort in as time goes on. Once they're tenured, and it's been like decades, they usually
have
grad students do most of the teaching for them and like actually preparing the lectures. And they do research, but they have so many people under them that like they're not really doing the research anymore.
Huh.
It's weird, so it's and I could go
pretty cushy.
Oh my god, I forgot to move again.
Disappeared again.
Yeah, but that like. To wrap it back around to Nathan Fielder, the way
as
that
we
he's,
always should.
The way that he's going about this is like very reminiscent of the way that you think when you start doing research about making institutional change, which is that it seems much, much simpler than it is. And I wonder if he'll get to that point later in the show.
Oh, is it not done?
No, it's not
over.
I
thought the show was all out. I thought it was just like...
I don't think it's over.
Binge, drop it all. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was like they dropped all the episodes.
No, they didn't drop it all at once.
I guess it's HBO. So that, they often do the weekly
Speaking
thing.
Of
okay.
HBO, I wanted to go over, I was looking for things to talk about because my mind is only full of Avatar stuff.
Yeah, you're not blue anymore.
I was
anymore.
Looking
is that important
at my,
to you?
Hold on.
Please.
I'll be
Thank
blue
you.
Momentarily.
Thank you.
I really enjoy this character that you are right now, where you're blue and you have the glasses and the mustache. I think that needs to be permanent. I think that's who you are.
I mean, will it save? Can I like?
It won't save you as blue. You'll have to find a way to make your official, because that's just in this game. So I was scrolling through. I just Googled the word news, and then I picked some things to talk about. I actually found out if you go to like the Google News website or whatever, like news.google.com.
Yep.
There's like a For You section, like the same way I have a For You page on my TikTok. There's a For You news thing.
Oh, so it shows you news stories that you'll like.
Scrolling through that, and first of all, this is the case on all of my Google services now. Some of the articles are about Avatar because I've been Googling and researching Avatar so much that no matter what Google resource I'm using, they're telling me about Avatar. So I'm not going to talk about any of those. I just think that's funny. I can't escape
Wait. But I want to know what is going on in the world of Avatar. Is there news?
I think they're just talking about that, you know, they're working on the new movie. I think that, isn't it supposed to come out this year? Avatar, Fire and
Beats
Ash.
Me. Is that what it's called?
Yes. Well, I know everything about this series now. It's supposed to come out in December of this year, but I don't think there's been any updates or any trailer or anything, and they're always postponed, so I feel like
that's
gotta
be... You saw the second one?
Yeah.
And was it good?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was enjoyable. I figured it wouldn't be, but... I do think they're pretty. There were people in my comments that were like, wow, the CGI really doesn't hold up. I completely disagree with that. I think the CGI in Avatar actually looks a lot better than a lot of the stuff that's being pumped out now, because a lot of these CGI studios now are putting no effort in. They're doing it so fast.
It is getting rough. I don't know what's happening. It's like some really bad CGI in movies now.
Yes,
you'd
that
never
looks
used
way
to see
worse
that.
Than stuff in the early 2000s that was like early days of CGI. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
It's because they're doing it really fast, and they'll outsource the CGI to like 20 different studios because they're having everybody work on it like in parallel as fast as possible. So when you watch the credits of a movie now with a bunch of CGI in it, there's literally 20 different studios all around the world that worked on like individual tiny sequences. And they're just trying to do it really fast and really cheap, and so that's why it looks bad. I don't know. Well, it's like the studios just discovered this strategy of doing it really cheaply and they don't want to do anything else. So it all looks horrible. But
People apparently don't care much. But in any case.
But so I actually, when I was rewatching Avatar for this video, I was actively thinking how good the CGI looks. I think it looks awesome compared to a lot of stuff today. I did watch the second one. So my point is, it was still very beautiful. I think the movies look really good and they're entertaining because they like... look and sound good, and it's like a spectacle, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought the plot was super stupid, dude. It's like, oh, I like this movement you're doing. I guess I should do a little bit of movement so I stop getting disconnected, huh?
Could be a good idea.
Because I'm really into what you're doing
right
now.
Jesus Christ.
I'll just do it once in a while.
How do I stop it? There we go. Yeah.
The plot of the second one... I mean, so the first one ends, and you don't care about spoilers, right?
I do not.
Are you ever going to watch these?
Absolutely not.
The first one ends, obviously, with them kicking all the humans off the planet.
Okay.
And the second one begins with, hey, the humans are back, and they're doing the same shit again.
Oh. Is there going to be 9 movies of just this?
Apparently. Like, it seems like the only thing... that James can think of for the conflict of the movie is between humans and Na'vi, so the humans have to stay there. But I don't even know if that's what the fans want, because the really hardcore fans of Avatar are like really interested in the Na'vi and their culture and stuff, and so I'm sure they would love a movie that was just fully about the Na'vi with no people in it. But that's not what James wants to do. So the humans are back, they're doing the same shit again. Instead of unobtainium, they're finding some kind of... special serum that they're extracting from whales.
And it's on the same planet?
On Pandora, yeah.
So Pandora's just like lit.
So they're killing
the place.
So they're killing whales now, and that's like what we're trying to stop. So not only are the humans back, we're rehashing that stuff, the literal main villain is reincarnated. He comes back to life for the second movie.
That sucks.
So it's like,
I hate when movies do that.
So it does seem like he's going to make a million of these movies with the exact same story, except we're going around to like different tribes, because the second one is like with the water tribe. So there's a lot of like ocean scenes, which is so, apparently why he had to be in a submarine for 10 years.
At what point do we no longer trust people to decide for themselves what movies they should watch? Because gajillions of people are watching these movies, ostensibly because they like them. But at some point, we have to band together and go, this, like with Cocomelon, this is not good for us. Some, like, do, like, what kind of society are we? Because I know, you know, we like freedom and individual choices, kind of, sort of, I don't know, ostensibly. Well, at least when it comes to movies, right? But we can't keep going on like this. Somebody has to step in at some point and say, no.
Somebody has to stop James Cameron.
We just need, it needs to be a reservation system. 100,000 people can watch Avatar 3. Sign up now. That's,
that's
it.
That's like nothing.
And then the rest of you have to go. It's like when you go to Disney World and everyone goes on Space Mountain, but you can't, you didn't get in, so you got to go on the Pooh Bear ride. We need to distribute. Sorry, you have to go watch the next Bong Joon-ho film instead. You know, you don't get to watch Avatar 3. Mm-hmm. And we sign up ahead of time. That's my solution. But we'll, you know, as with tenure, we will come up with a better one as we continue to brainstorm.
Yeah.
But like, I would say, you know, you can't tell people not to watch Avatar if they want to, but God,
I would say James
really
Cameron kind of has a form of tenure at this point, because they keep giving him so much money for these, no matter
but
what.
But it's crazy because he keeps making money. So it is like,
yeah,
people are watching it.
I think
I've
heard
they want to watch it.
I don't know if this is true, so I could look it up.
I'll say it anyway.
But, I think I've heard that Avatar does really well in China. I know that like China is a huge market for movies.
True.
Like, there's a lot of these big blockbusters that make like most of their money in China.
Okay.
And they also have like a lot of censorship laws, or at least like culturally they don't allow a lot of stuff in movies. And I think that that has influenced the way that they make like Marvel movies and stuff. Like, it has to fly
yeah,
in
I've
China.
Heard that. Like, you can't have gay people or whatever. Or if you do, they have to be easily editable out.
So I think there's a lot of these big blockbusters that are like super bland that like make a shit ton of money overseas.
That, I guess that does make sense. Because if you need, it's like one thing to even like, people complain about like just appealing to the entirety of the American audience, like mainstream audience. But then imagine if you're also factoring
appeal to
in
the
every
entire
other
world,
country.
Like every culture.
Yeah.
And so it ends up being just like mush, like nothing, because you have to appeal to so many people.
Beautiful though. Isn't that kind of amazing?
You've just rolled back around.
No.
It's actually beautiful.
Anything that can be, any story that can be told that every culture can kind of like.
Yeah, that's true.
That is kind of wild.
It speaks to some kind of universal humanity.
Right. And if you look at that, it's like that, you know, there's this weird, it's like not a real thing, but like this, I don't know if it's an art or science or whatever, but like you take every couch and you layer them over each other, the pictures of them, and then whatever the space is that's overlapping all the couches is the true soul of a couch. It's bullshit, obviously, it doesn't make any sense because like how big are they, you know, whatever.
They've
but
done
it's that,
that with
same
like
type
human faces to find like the average face.
And it's like there is something kind of amazing about the fact that I can watch Avatar 2 and go, yeah, it was fine. And some random Chinese lady can go and watch it and go, that was fine. That's kind of incredible if you think about it. I think I'm turning the corner.
Yeah.
I think I might watch Avatar at this point. But like,
there's
I got to think about that more.
I don't see anybody talking about this. There's a little white boy with dreads in Avatar 2. And
really?
I see no discourse about this online.
Are
but
we saying
I was
white
like,
blue or white or white like blue? Is he blue? Like, is he blue? Is he white coated blue person with dreads?
Human.
Or is he a
child.
Human being, a Caucasian human child boy?
Yeah.
Well, you can't yell at a kid. He probably just showed up that way and they were like, he's a kid. Just let him get away. It was fine.
Well, he's supposed to be, I don't know if I'm remembering all this correctly, but I think he's the adopted child of like, he was left behind when the humans left the first time, and so Jake and Neytiri, like, adopted him and are raising him, but he's human. And so I think he's supposed to be... He's supposed to be a bit of a, like, Jungle Story or whatever, like, when it's a kid in the jungle and their hair is just fucked up.
Tarzan had dreads,
right? Yeah, so I think it's kind of a Tarzan vibe, because he lives in the jungle.
I like the idea of, like, that's the one thing that they have to, like, actually get lore. They were like, well, technically, if he was raised on this planet, he would end up with dreads. Like, that is, like, the one thing they were like, well, that's got to... We actually have to be thoughtful about the implementation of the lore in that specific way.
That there are Na'vi that have dreads. They all have, like, braids of some kind. And so I wonder if they're supposed to have, like, Afro hair texture. And maybe they dreaded his hair because they're like, that's what we do with our hair.
Yeah, that movie is kind of racist if you really think about it. But, you know, I guess I guess we just have come to accept it. Because the Chinese people accept it. The Americans accept it. You know, this is what binds us. Maybe that's unfortunately at the core of it.
Yeah. I guess I have a little rant that I think I did to you before, but now I can do to the public.
Do it.
James Cameron actually... has not done much at all for the lore of Avatar.
And obviously, you did tell me this.
Among the Avatar fans, he's like God, right? They're all like slobbing his knob for the Avatar lore.
Giving him the old wraparound, or what did you say? I can't remember.
But he actually had very little to do with almost everything. Okay, so like with the video games, he was going on interviews and stuff being like, these are going to be canon and they're going to expand on the lore of the movie. And, you know, we're taking all these precautions to make sure they don't spoil the movie because they came out before the movie, which obviously they didn't do because, as you saw in the video, they all have the same plot of the movie somehow. But then I was looking at developer interviews, and the developers at Ubisoft, which made three of the games, were like, yeah, we met with James like once and he just said yes to the first ideas that we gave him.
Doesn't care.
He clearly did not care that much. He did not make the language. He hired a linguist to make the language. He did not design the creatures or the plants. He like had inputs, but he hired people to do all that stuff. There's basically no lore outside of exactly what you see in the movie. Like, they created just enough plants and animals to be seen in the movie. They created exactly enough locations to be seen in the movie. There's no overall map of Pandora.
Where's Earth?
It's like 6 years away in cryosleep or something.
Okay.
But my point is, James had very little to do with the lore that exists other than, you know, he had the final say and he wanted them to be blue and kind of like cats.
What's the genesis of this idea for him? Do we know when he, like, why he came up with this, when he came up with it? Was it like in a journal from when he was a kid?
He apparently was writing.
Did a poor boy send him a letter from a Make-A-Wish thing with a picture of a Na'vi?
He apparently was like working on the script since Titanic came out, basically, in the 90s.
That's crazy. Why would you ever admit that? You said I've been working on this for 13 years and that's what
came out like this.
Jesus.
He was, from what I can tell in the interviews, he was directly inspired by Dune, which then when you make the comparisons, you're like, oh, this is just like extremely simplified Dune with like none of the kind of deep political commentary at all.
Right. Well, because obviously this is Chinese Dune. You got Dune. What are the box office numbers of Dune in China, I guess? That's what we got to know.
So that's my rant, I guess, is that James Cameron himself actually doesn't even know that much about Avatar.
And you probably know more.
I think that he just wanted to be in a submarine for 10 years. And his excuse was that it was research for Avatar.
What does Avatar have to do with submarines?
Don't you know this? So after the first Avatar movie, he was like, okay, the next one is going to be about like an ocean tribe and there's going to be a bunch of underwater scenes.
So he was like, I gotta chill down there for a while.
So yeah, he's like huge on going down in submarines. And
I
like
knew that
was,
I guess I just
that was why
the
second
connection.
Movie took fucking over a decade to release is because he had to do all this quote research underwater.
Huh. And that informs the CGI teams, I guess. He goes, hey, I saw some coral. There was this plant.
He just said he wasn't satisfied with like the type of underwater filming they could do at the time when Avatar came out.
Yeah. You think it's total bullshit? Or you think there's truth to it?
I mean, I do... Like, Avatar has apparently like inspired the creation of new movie-making tools. I mean, as far as, like, I think filming in 3D and filming motion capture and kind of CGI innovations. Innovations have been made because of Avatar. But I don't think, when it comes to making the second movie, I don't think that, like, getting the technology exactly how he envisioned overrode the fact that there was such a huge wait and he didn't capitalize at all on the hype of the original one. Like, if they had been coming out consistently, it could have been like a new Star Wars type of thing that everyone was excited about. But I don't think that the sequel hit the same because it'd been like a decade since anyone had seen the original one. So but
maybe
he just
that
like
was part of the
created this fandom, created this fandom around the first one. And then it just like totally died by the time the second one came out.
But that's because when after he finished the second one, he watched it and he was like, oh, shit, this is exactly like the first one. We need to give some time and release it far enough away that nobody will remember what happened in the first one. Because I'm pretty sure that, like, didn't the second one also made more than like $1 billion?
I'm sure it made a shit ton of money, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, it made $2.3 billion.
Yeah.
And yeah, $1.6 billion of that was international. Mm-hmm. It doesn't specifically separate out China, but yeah, so these Avatar movies are just gigantic outside of the US, maybe is a big part of it. So I guess maybe we just don't get it.
That's fine. I mean, I'll go to the theaters to see all of them probably. I'm interested enough to go see them once.
And the next one's about what, volcanoes?
Yeah, I mean, he's just doing like all the elements, you know, water, fire.
So can you track what the next Avatar is going to be about based on where James Cameron is on Earth?
Like, right, he's like hanging he's,
right.
He's been in a volcano for
he's
this
been,
one.
Yeah, he's been in a volcano for 8 years, so.
He's going to be like climbing Everest next for like a snow version.
It's going to end up on the moon.
We just like, have to go through every biome.
I was unsatisfied with moon filming techniques. The quality of the footage was not sufficient, so I had to spend some time up there. And then that's how we get our first moon base. And then
he
becomes
wants to
like
go on little side quests.
He's an adventurer, you know? I can't blame the guy.
Anyway, I do want to touch slightly on a couple of these other news articles I was seeing on my For You page on
Google. Yeah, that's how we went down this whole Jesus Christ. All right, yeah, go ahead. What's going on in the
world?
And
I saw this on Blue Sky too, that you know, speaking of the rehearsal, HBO has rolled back their original rebranding to just Max, and now they're going back to HBO Max because we all knew that just Max didn't make any sense in the first place. And they already had a bunch of brand recognition as HBO, so it never made any sense. I just think it's funny that they finally realized and rolled back after, like, what, 2 years maybe of being just Max?
Yeah.
Because it didn't work out. Anyway, so I saw that, and then I saw a story about a guy that crashed a little Cessna plane into the ocean.
Oh, yeah? Did he survive? Wait, where in the ocean?
Oh, gosh, where is it?
Was it like blue water deep
like
ocean or like
the
near
the
shore?
Of, over the Gulf of California. And it was just this one pilot and a like marine biology researcher. Anyway, they crashed in the water and they're totally fine. But I guess the engine just turned off while they were flying.
Engines break sometimes, yeah. It's usually it's because they run out of gas. I think that's like the number one. It's so
wait, really?
For pilots,
they just run
like.
Out of
like,
gas?
No, unironically, I'm pretty sure. I got to look this back up again, but I'm pretty sure like one of the things they teach you in flight school is like the number one reason why engines fail is because people didn't calculate the amount of gas.
Don't you check that before you leave?
Some people, especially if it's like you fly on the side, like this happens, like doctors, for example, I think they have a 3 or 4 times higher fatality rate flying planes than non-doctors. It happens a lot where people who just like kind of fly casually or whatever, they start to treat their plane like a car and they just get in and go.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, it looks like I have enough gas, which is fine if you're in a car, because if you run out of gas, it's not that big of a deal.
kind but of a in big a plane, deal in it's an a airplane.
Big deal. And so what you're supposed to do is there's this big checklist that takes about 15 minutes that every single time you fly a plane, you check the oil, you check the tires, you check to make sure the gas is.
Yeah, I thought that was mandatory.
It's the regulation for it just says you need to ensure the safety of the plane. It's you're responsible for the safety of the plane if you're the pilot. So, you know, it doesn't specifically say here's everything you have to do, just because that would be really hard to, every plane is different, so it'd be really hard to like write all that out, but it's up to the manufacturer and then it's up to the pilot. But the responsibility falls on the pilot, obviously. So yeah, it does happen pretty frequently that people are just like out of gas. But what's crazy to me is like when the there's this light that comes on, just like in a car, for low fuel. And when that comes on, you have, depending on the plane, you can have 30 to 60 minutes of flying time left. And it's like, how do you screw it up from that point? I'm not saying this is what happened in this case. Sometimes plane engines do
it doesn't
just like
say
fuck
why
up and break.
This happened.
Usually when they break, it's because they run out of gas or the pilot like hit something they shouldn't have hit and didn't fix it. Like there's a lever in the plane to control how much gas is going into the engine. So you have a throttle lever, but then also just like a put more or less gas into the engine. And so sometimes if you pull that out, you stop the gas from going in, engine turns off. But yeah, it is really funny. Like to me, the idea that like, oh, the low fuel light's on. Well, I'm sure we can make it, as opposed to like, why don't we land, get some fuel?
Yeah, but that's crazy.
It happens all the time.
Anyway, this story was just funny because, you know, they just crashed in the ocean and sat there floating for 2 hours until a boat came and got them.
Damn, that's pretty good. 2 hours. I would have expected
it's a long time
30
to
40 minutes before that plane was gone. Or you mean they were floating? The plane already sank.
No, yeah, the plane sank. They were floating with life jackets.
I was like, those planes, they float for a little while, but 2 hours is pushing it. Yeah, the survivability of water landings is actually pretty much equal to
land landings. The guy still had his phone while they were sitting there in the life jackets. And so he was like taking little selfies and taking little videos. And he was like, I'm going to put a picture of the selfie on the screen because it was funny. He's like taking a little smiling selfie in the ocean.
I mean, if you know that you're getting rescued, and planes do have like a little emergency thing that you turn on and it goes and goes on the frequency that all the boats and planes use and stuff. So I guess if you know you're getting rescued, you're just swimming at that point.
I know. I wonder what the temperature of the water was. I guess it's like approaching summer. Maybe it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, probably wasn't hypothermic by any means. And are those, that's the three things that are happening in the world right now? Plane crash, Avatar
HBO
News,
Max.
HBO Max. Nothing else?
That's pretty much all I was seeing.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you for an update on the news. I hope you do that every week. I want a news update every week.
Well, I think this is a good idea for a segment because I don't always have things to talk about, but I can just tell you.
No, timely news is great.
The most important things going on in the world right now.
I love that. Let's do it. Bring it back next week.
Shout out Turks and Caicos.
Always.